This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Because nagging him is just going to weaken your marriage. It's going to cause conflict. And I would say the same thing to a husband. Like, Katie would be okay with me saying this. I know that there are wives who are more organized than Katie. I know there are wives who might do better having 10 kids and maybe managing a home differently or better than her. So, but I can choose to accept the wonderful things about Katie and focus on those things versus staying on her and trying to get her to change in these other ways. And so one of the things I commonly counsel in marriage is not to try to change your spouse. This is the person you married, and you'll do better and have a more enjoyable relationship if you accept these things about your husband or wife versus trying to change them, because it's pretty clear that we can't change each other. And, you know, when a couple comes in for counseling, it's clear they couldn't change each other or they wouldn't be in there to counsel with me, right? If they could change each other, they wouldn't need my help. The Holy Spirit is the only way people change, and people don't even change that much over time. So one thing that I say to young people is you really need to know who you're marrying, and don't marry this person believing that they're going to be a different person down the road. I'll tell you a story that I've seen so many times, Rhett. I put on marriage conferences. I have about 5 or 6 messages. In between the messages, I try to make myself available to people for questions. And commonly, a woman will come up to me, and I'll talk a lot about men being spiritual leaders, praying with their wives, reading the word with their families. And a woman listens to this, and her husband is not praying. Maybe her husband doesn't even go to church with her. So she comes up to me, and she says, you know, Scott, I'm listening to you talk about husbands being spiritual leaders and praying and reading the word with their families. My husband's not doing that. You know, what can I do to get him to do that? Or what can I do to get my husband to become the man that you're describing? Now, think about this, Rhett. This woman's talking to me. I've got maybe 5 minutes with her is more, because there's probably other people that want to talk to me. I've got 5 minutes with her. I'm not going to be able to tell her something in 5 minutes that's going to change her, help him become a different person. So my point is, the person you marry is the person that you get. And often when you talk to women and you say, well, why did you marry a woman? Or excuse me, why did you marry a man? He sounds like he's not a very spiritual man. You know, you're questioning whether he's a Christian. Why did you marry this man? And often the answer is, well, I hoped he would change. I hoped he would change. I hope he would. So you hope causes a lot of problems when it's placed in the wrong thing, right? And so if you place your hope in your husband changing, then you're probably going to be disappointed. It's the same with with a woman. If you marry a woman and she's super messy, you can't hope later that she's going to become super organized and tidy. That's just not going to happen. So you need to, all of the young people listening, you need to know ahead of time, you know, who you're marrying, and be sure that that's the way the person is right now is the way you want to, is the person you want to spend your life with.
Well, because a lot of the time a man will marry a woman hoping she's never going to change, and the women marry a man hoping she can change, but they take us on as projects. You know, you mentioned Elizabeth Elliot, and if I think it's who you are, guess who got to meet Elizabeth Elliot?
Really?
Years ago. And of course, people may not know that story. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And do you know that story about her husband?
Yeah, Jim Elliot, of course. Yeah, I've watched the two movies, and Jim's an incredible man. Yep.
Yeah, tell the folks listening to this about this great Christian hero, missionary.
Okay, so Jim Elliot, with 4 of his friends, wanted to reach this cannibalistic, violent tribe. And they flew down there, and they were trying to make a connection with these people. They couldn't speak the same language. And I think about half of the people ended up being in the tribe, ended up being killed by other people within the tribe because it was so violent. And so they knew that they couldn't just walk into this tribe. They don't even speak the same language and start preaching the gospel to them. And so I can't remember if it was Nate Saint. I can't remember the individual who was the pilot, but he was able to fly the plane in a circle with a rope hanging down with a bucket, and do it in such a way that the bucket hung down from the plane, and then the tribal people could come and take these gifts out of this bucket so that they began viewing these missionaries favorably. And over time, they slowly built this relationship with the tribe. But then tragically one night, some of the men, maybe there was some misunderstanding, or maybe the men thought that the missionaries were a threat. They came out and they murdered Jim and the men with him. And then later, it's actually some of their children that did end up building a relationship with the tribe and then sharing the gospel with them. But Jim Elliot famously said that he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep or give up what he can't keep for that which he can't lose, referring to giving up the temporary for the eternal.
Well, Jesus said the same thing. He said, "Why do you work for that which you cannot keep?" But of course, Jesus was capable of seeing the eternal viewpoint. From here, people are all rushing around, giving up their lives, trying to acquire vehicles of prestige and other items that glitter, when in fact that's not going to bring happiness. But I was told that Elizabeth actually went down to South America where her husband had been killed, right? And she won the very man who killed her husband, speared him to death. She won him to Christ later on in life.
I thought it was one of the children, but it might have been Elizabeth. I do know, like I said, that the family members did make relationships or inroads with the tribe and then preach the gospel to them. So it is definitely an incredible story.
But of all the things for someone to say, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And the fact that he wrote that as a young man, but I think he was killed by the time he was 28 years young. Oh my word. And that the words, so somehow it was like, I mean, he knew ahead of time or something, the fact that would be out. And how many people have lived by that code of his? He is no fool who gives up for what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose, you know? And Jesus said, "Why do you work for that which fades away?" And I have to, you know, as an older guy now, I realize, your tastes change, of course, as you get older. It's like, it isn't about the money, that's for sure. You know, it's what are you doing eternally that'll have eternal consequence. And I want to talk about a couple things too, because, you know, you counsel on weddings and marriages. And today's it's a very hard world. When I first became evangelized by Pat Robertson on TV at the age of 28, and then at 29, I got gloriously born again in my living room, which I recommend people do. Jesus said, make sure you are born again. Just going and sitting in a pew is like going and standing in a garage. You go and stand in a garage, it will not make you a car. You can go and sit in a pew. Billy Graham, who I had the pleasure of interviewing also, he said a lot of people go and they get just enough in church that they never get it and never have that conversion. And Jesus said, make sure. Now, I happen to like the guy in Dallas. A lot of people want to find fault with that guy in Dallas who has the TV show. I happen to like him. Now, at the end of his shows, he says, if you say this, you know, if you say, I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead, we believe you're born again. Well, I love him, but I'm saying, no, I don't believe you're born again just by uttering a few words. I was in my living room calling out to God violently for about a half an hour saying, okay, I'm a fool. And then I came to a place of surrender and said, I surrender the rest of my life. And that's when I had the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to make sure that people know that. And now I forgot where I was going with all this, but
that was good. I agree with you.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking with Scott Lapierre. The title of his book is Your Marriage, God's Way, God Made Man and Woman. And one thing I don't want to be remiss that, you know, the relationship, Jesus says he's returning for his bride. So the marriage is here on earth, and I'm not saying I'm an expert, you're the expert, but from what I can gather, the marriage here on earth is a foreshadowing of the eternal marriage as we will be the bride of Christ, who what woman wouldn't submit to a man who said, I'm willing to take that bullet for you. I will die for you. Now that's love. If a woman knows that man will die for me, what will she not do for that man? And as an old friend of mine, she said, you know, you give a woman 25 cents, you'll always get back 250 change. So they're an amazing being, are they not?
Yeah, they're great responders. And you're making a point there that's worth worth ensuring everyone understands that God has used the marriage relationship in the Old and New Testament to picture his relationship with his people. So in the Old Testament, God was the groom and Israel was the bride. And then in the New Testament, Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. And so God has used that institution to picture the relationship between a husband and wife. And you're talking about basically how wives are responders. And I completely agree with that. I just want to read a verse here to you that makes that point, that in the relationship, husbands or wives tend to be responders. So Ephesians 5 is the primary marriage passage. And it says, commands husbands to love their wives, to sanctify and cleanse them, washing them with the water by the word. And then this is the verse 27. It says, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So it says, so that Christ might present the church to himself in splendor. So what that means is Christ gets the church that he prepares for himself. He sanctifies the church. He washes it with the word. He loves it. He cherishes it so that he gets a cherished and sanctified and washed church. So Christ gets the church that he prepares for himself. But because this is primarily a marriage passage, the larger point is that husbands get the wives that we prepare for ourselves. So this isn't speaking, there are places that speak primarily about Christ, but this is primarily a marriage passage. It's written to husbands and wives. So we're to look past what it says about Christ to see what it says to husbands. And the idea is that if we'll treat our wives lovingly, tenderly, gently, forgivingly, we generally end up with wives that are more loving, gentle, tender, and forgiving. If we're going to be harsh with our wives, unforgiving, cruel, we're going to end up typically with wives that are harsher, crueler, more unforgiving. And so it's really important for husbands to be involved or concerned with their wives' sanctification for a couple reasons. One reason is it's one of God's primary commands for men. You know, there are not many things that's more important to God for me than what I'm like as a husband. And then secondarily, what I'm like as a father. And then third, pastor. Those are kind of my priorities there. And so God wants me to be concerned about Katie's sanctification. Husbands are told to sanctify and cleanse their wives with the washing of water by the word. That means husbands have to be taking their wives to church.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus, take the beauty from the pain. Jesus, lift these weary hands again. Turn the silence into songs of praise.